Blog Talk Radio.
Special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
Matthew Long. We have sister shows on this same channel every Tuesday night with the Cold Hard Truth on Sports, hosted by the Executioner Matthew Long. And we also have on Wednesday nights at 8:30 p.m. the CMT Fire Song Football Talk Show, hosted by Cali Mike with Chi-Town, Clausell Mathis, and Tony Watley. You are here live Sunday around 7:30, August 23rd, 2015. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press one key to get on queue and you'll be able to talk live on the show. This is the month of August, and, you know, they basically have a saying out there talking about the dog days of summer, but it looks like in the sport of boxing, we have the dog days of August. We're coming up to the final weekend of the month, and as you've seen over the past few weeks or so, we haven't necessarily had any big fights to look forward to or to talk about. We had an upset basically in the previous week when Marco Huck lost to Krzysztof Kulaki and lost the WBO Cruiserweight Championship. And the main event was Antonio Tarver versus Steve Cunningham, which eventually ended up in a draw and was a fairly uneventful fight in comparison, as the Huck-Kulaki fight may end up being a Fight of the Year candidate. And the crowd there that was in Newark basically had a unsatisfied thought about the Tarver-Cunningham fight. So now we basically are going forward with the next few weeks coming up in the sport of boxing, and we're basically going to be, you know, previewing the upcoming fights that we have, upcoming matchups, possible matchups that may not necessarily be signed yet, but have been heavily rumored within the sport. So we're going to be touching on a few of those notable matchups. First off, we're basically going to go right into it with the fights that are coming up next weekend. We have our Premier Boxing Champions with a card coming up next week, you know, on Saturday, August 29th, with the main event being Abner Mares going up against Leo Santa Cruz. And this one has basically been a fairly talked about fight that we've had over the past few months or so, mainly because of, you know, Leo Santa Cruz being an undefeated fighter, and some people giving the idea that he's been a protected fighter, so to speak, quote-unquote, in the current division here for where it was at super bantamweight. He'll be facing Abner Morris at the featherweight division. Morris is 29-1-1, while Santa Cruz is 30-0-1. And I would see that this fight is basically the main event that's going to be at Staples Center in Los Angeles. And I mean, it's pretty much, to me, that one's going to be an even fight. Santa Cruz is, you know, they're at 5'7 with a reach of, 69 inches. And Morris may be 5'4 and a half with a reach of 66. But he's more experienced. He's had more tougher fights than Abner Morris had. More tougher fights than Leo Santa Cruz has against tougher fighters. I mean, you have the notable fight that he had in 2013 against Daniel Ponce de Leon. And Selma Moreno was a key fight that he won by decision. And then he had his two fights against Joseph Akpeko for two of the major bantamweight championships back in 2011. And also, he defeated Victor Chingin in 2011. So he had, those key fights there over the course of his career over the past, three or four years in comparison to Leo Santa Cruz. So you'll basically see that he'll bring that type of experience in a big fight against Leo Santa Cruz at the Staples Center there at featherweight. I would think that, with this being a current division, I see that maybe Santa Cruz is kind of moving up in weight for this fight. Like I said, he's basically been there at super bantamweight previously, holding the WBC super bantamweight title there. So he's, coming up towards featherweight there. And I think that is going to be a blur. Pretty much going to be interested in to see if Santa Cruz could eventually be one of the high-profile fighters at featherweight. That is one of the divisions that is currently pretty stacked. But, not only is that division stacked, but so is super bantamweight, which is where Leo Santa Cruz was. You have one of the best pound-for-pound fighters out there, in my opinion, with Guillermo Rigondeaux there. You also have Carl Frampton there. You also have Scott Quigg there. Nonito Donaire is still floating around there at that weight class. So they have a few talented fighters at the top of the super bantamweight division. While, if you go up to featherweight, of course, you have Vasyl Lomachenko, one other person that is a fairly talented fighter. You have Gerald Russell Jr. There at featherweight, the title holder that was there is the Jamaican Nicholas Walters, who may, eventually move up in weight since he won't be able to hold up at the 126-pound limit. So he will eventually, move up in weight. But, there is still a lot of, fighters there in that featherweight division that a lot of these fighters will be able to fight later on. But I think this upcoming thing here next Saturday on Premier Boxing Champions with Abner Morris and Leo Santa Cruz would be a very good fight, you know, for fight fans to look forward to. From what I've seen with a lot of, you know, previews and predictions, it's looking like a 50-50 type of fight. But, you know, for the past few weeks or so, I've been still siding towards, you know, Abner Ramirez over Leo Santa Cruz in this fight because of his, like I said, because of his previous experience in it and in big type of fights. And also, you know, going against more notable fighters than Leo Santa Cruz has over the course of their career. So do have that being a major advantage for Abner Ramirez. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to go into a quick break, and we'll look in towards other upcoming matchups that we have over the course of the next few weeks, going into the next few months. You're listening to the Boxing Source Radio Show here live on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio.
The Cohort Truth on Sports, every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. The Executioner, Matthew Long, talks about different topics in sports, which include football, basketball, baseball, hockey, boxing, and more. The Executioner also invites special guests to talk about different topics within the sports world. So be sure that you catch the Cold Hard Truth on Sports every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Football talk like you've never heard it before. Possibly one of the funniest podcasts in sports today. That's right, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have Cali Mike, Chi-Town, Carcel Mathis, and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. They give you a different perspective of football that may not be found anywhere else. You may also catch the callers with some classic lines as well.
There's a blackout level.
What is it?
I don't know what it is. I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head.
Okay, I know you're in front of your computer right now. Look it up.
I'm about to look it up right now, all right?
National blackout level.
I never said national blackout level, liar.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Florida blackout level. Whatever blackout level you want to look up, look it up. Wait, you can't compare a fifth-year quarterback to a 20-year quarterback. How do you compare Cam Newton to Peyton Manning? That's impossible.
I don't even think Cam Newton's going to get a contract extension.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the worst franchise in the National Football League. The worst franchise in the National Football League.
The difference between Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton is Jameis Winston has the ability to lead a team to a championship.
Once again, people, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night on the MRN Broadcasting Network. Better than diamond rings. That's why
we're here to sing football. Jameis Winston is just stupid.
All right, here we are back live on the Boxing Source Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. The number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press the number one key to get on queue, and then we'll be able to put you on live on the show. We are moving forward here with the boxing schedules that we have going up and going on here, and it looks like like I said, next weekend, August 29th, we're going to have Leo Santa Cruz going up against Abner Morris for the WBC Diamond Featherweight Championship on Premier Boxing Champions. And it seems like Premier Boxing Champions is going to have a busy few weeks coming up here. You have that thing on August 29th that's going to be on ESPN, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with the fights being hosted at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. And then the next week, we will have on Sunday, September 6th, they will have a doubleheader, the American Bank Center in Corpus Christi, as they have Marco Antonio Rubio going up against Anthony Durrell in one fight. And they'll also have Jamie McDonald going up against Tomoki Kamita in a rematch, as Kamita and McDonald went up against each other on Saturday, May 9th, to a very close decision victory for McDonald. So they're going to have a rematch coming up here on Sunday, September 6th. That will probably be another close fight for those two. And then you have at the main event, you'll have Anthony Durrell going up against Marco Antonio Rubio. That will probably be a super middleweight fight there, as it seems like Rubio will be moving up from middleweight to super middleweight in order to fight Anthony Durrell, as Durrell is coming off of a loss that he had against Better Jack, where he lost the WBC Super Middleweight Championship back on April 24th. So this will be basically a bounce-back fight for both fighters, to see which one will be able to continue their careers after losing their previous fights. For Marco Antonio Rubio, this is his going to be his first fight in almost 1 year, as nearly a year ago he fought Gennady Golovkin in the Suburb Center in Carson, California, and lost in two rounds. So he'll be, trying to bounce back from that. Rubio is, basically had his name in the middleweight division. He was a top 10 guy for, a little bit of time there, floating around. He's basically been up and down in reference to middleweight and super middleweight. He's fought the likes of notable fighters like Carlos Baldomir, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., like I say, Leo Chavez, and also he defeated David Lemieux back in 2011. He's also fought former middleweight champion Kelly Pavlik and notable fighters like Kasim Uma also. He is a seasoned veteran at 59 wins and 7 losses with 1 draw, going up against Anthony Durrell, who, like I said, is looking to bounce back against, bounce back from his loss back in April 24th to Badou Jack. So we'll see if Anthony Durrell is going to be able to basically win or come back from that fight to see if he'll be able to get back into the race for the super middleweight championships that are out there. You also have a few other events coming up. Like I said, after what we have on September 6th, we're going to have on September 8th a Premier Boxing Champions card on Fox Sports 1, which will involve one of our previous guests on the Boxing Source Radio Show, former 154-pound champion Austin No Doubt Trout is going to be fighting in a 10-rounder against Joey Hernandez over in Los Angeles. Currently, you have Austin Trout basically training in the D.C. area at Headbangers Gym. Pretty much ran into Austin Trout training there a few weeks ago before he went out to do a broadcasting gig for Premier Boxing Champions. And now he should be back in the gym, back at Headbangers, to continue training for his 154-pound fight against Joey Hernandez. He's looking to get back into the higher ranks in the super welterweight division. See if we can check something out here with Ring Magazine, looking at the rankings to see if you know, he's still floating around within the top 10. He's number 3. He's basically number 3 at Ring Magazine for welterweight under the only two guys that he's basically has lost to, Saul Canelo Alvarez and Arislan De Lara, are the two guys that are ranked above him for that slot, which is, you know, fairly interesting that he's put at number 3 with Lara being at number 2 and Alvarez at number 1. Alvarez is going to be fighting for a middleweight championship, and the champion at junior middleweight for Ring Magazine used to be Floyd Mayweather, but since Floyd Mayweather really hasn't fought at 154 pounds, he had to basically vacate the Ring Magazine championship. So you have Alvarez, Lara, Trout, Jermell Charlo at number 4, Matheus Jan there, also Kanan Bundridge, and then Jermell Charlo is like the top 6 or 7 guys within the 154-pound race. So you'll see if Charlo is able to, you know, get back on, you know, on the winning track and keep active to see if he'll be able to maybe even get a rematch with Lara for probably to see who the best guy is at the 154-pound level. So that's going to be an interesting matchup there for Trout to see how he looks September 8th in Los Angeles against Joey Hernandez. Once again, folks, the number to dial in to get onto the show is 347-237-5539. Once again, it's 347-237-5539. You press 1 key to get on queue, and then you'll be able to talk live in on the show. To these other fights here that we have, and fairly notable. We have on Friday, September 11th in Toronto, we have another Premier Boxing Champions card that it'll feature the young prospector, you know, the young guy that people have been talking about on welterweight division. Former Olympian Errol Spence Jr. He'll be going up against Chris Van Heerden. It'll be a 10-round fight. He'll see if he'll be able to move up in the ranks in the welterweight division. It'll be the co-feature on the Premier Boxing Champions card, while the main event is going to be The main event is going to be Donna Stevenson against Tommy Carpensi for Stevenson's WBC Light Heavyweight Championship. I've talked about it before. Probably, you know, see if I'll maybe write an article about it, reference to Adonis Stevenson as far as his reluctance to fight, challenging fights. Tommy Carpensi is, I don't see Carpensi amongst the top, maybe even 20 guys in the light heavyweight division. Some people rank him around like top 15. I highly doubt that. I mean, Carpensi is like 25-4. He may have lost, I mean, he may have won his last, you know, four fights, but, and he is ranked number 9 in the WBC, but, I mean, he got a lot of different ranking boards that probably would not have Tommy Carpensi amongst their 10 or 15 fighters within that specific division. So this is almost a comparison to Kovalev's fight against Najib Mohammadi. There's a few other guys that are out there. I mean, Stevenson has fought from far, but you have Beterbiev out there. You have Unieski Gonzalez out there. You have Aledir Alvarez out there. That is, you know, higher rated than Carpensi that they could fight. And it just seems like the fight that we're looking forward to, which is Stevenson versus Kovalev, is basically not going to happen. Keep getting time after time after time. We keep getting roadblocks for that fight to happening. They don't know if it's going to go to a purse split or not. It seems like Kovalev is fighting on November 28th, and then he may end up fighting a mandatory with Artur Beterbiev, where that could end up as a purse bid. And either way, it seems like Kovalev may be forced into a biddings war between HBO and Premier Boxing Champions Network, as both Stevenson and Beterbiev are guys that are promoted or managed, well, they're managed by Al Haymon, and their promoters, Von Michel, as the main promoter for Stevenson, is working with Al Haymon for, you know, getting his fights put together. So, I'd rather see Kovalev try to get it on or in the ring against Stevenson, but it just looks like that fight is not really going to take place. Von Michel said that the offer that Kathy Duva had for a fight, you know, between his fighter that he's also managing, Artur Beterbiev, and Sergey Kovalev, to be November 28th. He said it was a good offer, but they just wanted to pass on it because if Beterbiev wins his possible fight that's an IBF eliminator, he would be the number one contender for Sergey Kovalev's, one of Sergey Kovalev's belts, one of his belts. So if he's able to do that, then they wouldn't necessarily have to be forced to go into HBO and fight for the belt on the HBO. Instead, it would go to a purse bid and see if that the money that's coming from the Premier Boxing Champions Network, whether it would be on ESPN or NBC or CBS or anything like that, would be more than what HBO would be able to offer with the fighter that fights under HBO, which is Sergey Kovalev, to have a possible Kovalev better be a fight November 28th. On HBO, but it doesn't seem like that is going to happen. See if I can look at who the guys are. They tried to do an eliminator, IBF eliminator, for the number one contendership. Originally it was supposed to be Beterbiev versus Hopkins, but Hopkins turned it down. Then they had Eric Skoglund. That was below Hopkins, and it looks like he turned it down. So it's basically Chalemba that's their number five contender for the IBF Light Heavyweight Championship to see if he'll be able to accept the fight against Artur Beterbiev and see if that will come to fruition later on this year. So that's basically the gist of the light heavyweight division. Because, like I said, on Friday, September 11th, you have Stevenson facing Carpentier, and then you'll have to see what happens basically after that. On September 12th, they have something going on during the day. It's going to be at the Foxwoods Resort in Connecticut. We're going to have one notable fight there with K-9 or Cornelius Bundridge going up against one of the Charlo brothers there. You're going to have him going up against Jamal Charlo, who's undefeated, 21-0, young guy, 25 years old, fairly tall. I got there at super welterweight, six feet. So he's at 6'1", 154, going up against the champion Cornelius Bundridge. He's 42 years old with a record of 34-5. He's at 5'6". That's going to be a very interesting matchup to see if Charlo will be able to defeat Bundridge and take that title that he currently holds right now. So it's going to be an interesting battle. People are probably going to lean towards Jamal Charlo for this fight, but the experience of Cornelius Bundridge may be key here on the fight for the title that Cornelius Bundridge has. And the main event that they have here is Peter Killen versus Zarafa. And that's at middleweight. Michael Zarafa is coming in from Australia. He'll be going up against the undefeated Peter Cullen. Cullen is an interim belt holder there at middleweight for the WBA. He did have that fight against Andy Lee, where he ended up coming in to the fight overweight, so he couldn't necessarily fight for the middleweight championship that Andy Lee had, as Andy Lee won the WBO title. He won the WBO title earlier as it was vacated. But Coolin was the former WBO middleweight champion, but eventually that was given up, and he did, you know, not make weight back in April 11th before his fight against Sandy Lee. So now he's going up against Zarafa. I think this is a, for some, they would say this is a stay busy fight for him. Many people were talking about him facing Daniel Jacobs, who's Brooklyn native, just like Peter Cullen is. And Jacobs has a version of the regular WBA super welterweight, WBA middleweight championship, as Gennady Golovkin is the WBA super champion. So they're seeing if they'll be able to put up a fight between those two sometime either late this year, probably next year. Most likely it's going to be next year. I don't think that they're going to have either one of those fighters probably fight one more time this year. It's such a short time within, you know, within a three-month period. So so now they got Coolin going up against Michael Zarafa, who has basically been, and this fight has basically been in front of a lot of jokes from a few fight fans, is Zarafa's basically was known as a, I guess, one of those quote-unquote entertainers, so to speak, or something like that. So fight here is not necessarily a good matchup there, and a lot of people say that it shouldn't even be made event-worthy. So this is something that is a fight that really isn't good, so to speak. So that's going to be what's going to happen on the day of September 12th. What I'll do here is we'll go to another break, and we're going to see what else is. We're going to see what other news and notes are happening in the sports world. Once again, this is the Boxing Source Radio Show live here on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey all, this is Matthew Long, the Executioner, here on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. Now, I know you've heard me talk about the Touch Pro Basketball on my shows before. My boy, Tony Greer, is the inventor of the ball. If you're out there training and playing basketball and you don't have this ball, you're missing out, because it's going to help you improve your hand-eye coordination, your dribbling, and your shooting skills. So go today and get the Touch Pro Basketball at touchproball.com.
Sports radio host, producer, news anchor. A few of many, many more careers that the Connecticut School of Broadcasting can lead you to. Go CSB.com or 1-800-TV-RADIO to schedule your studio tour. With an on-hands approach and instructors being broadcast professionals themselves, you're guaranteed to get a first-class learning experience. Get your career in the broadcasting field started the right way. Sports radio host, producer, news anchor. The Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Go CSB.com or 1-800-TV-RADIO to schedule your studio tour.
Executioner here. Now, I'm sure a lot of you listeners are just like me. You like to spend a little time on the internet, sharing video, looking at video, but the problem is you can't stream live if you're playing on Tumblr or YouTube. Well, if you go right now to Giesel.net, you can sign up for your free account and start streaming live and share that with all of your friends. That's Giesel.net, G-E-E-S-E-L.net.
ALZ.net.
Why haven't you learned anything?
For sports news, updates, and general tomfoolery, head on over to thechtonsports.wordpress.com.
Gotta be careful, though. We don't want it to get too excited and go off in your hair.
All right, here we're back on the Boxing Source Radio Show. The number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Push one key to get on cue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. Last part of the commercial that you heard talks about the Cohort Truth on Sports website, where we have various articles on different sports topics, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, boxing, hockey, even racing, soccer. We have all of that with various journalists that write articles on there. So make sure that you catch the articles on thechtonsports.com. Once again, thechtonsports.com. All right, we have somebody here on the line, 813-784. What's going on?
How's it going, man?
Doing good, man, doing good. Just trying to, you know, get through this month of August in reference to the sport of boxing. There really isn't, you know, that much going on. Wasn't really that much going on this month. You know, no big events out there. The most talked about matchup isn't really until the end of the month. So we've really gone through a very slow month in the sport of boxing.
I hear you. I guess the most exciting part about the month is what's going to happen next month, basically. And
the other thing is that the only thing that's basically getting most of us fight fans through is looking at Shane Mosley's Twitter page, where he's talking trash to just about everybody.
And I thought it was pretty interesting that Roy Jones Jr. has gotten blacklisted from the Ukraine by taking some shots with Putin, and evidently he asked for a Russian citizenship, according to some reports.
Where did that come from?
I don't know what's going on with him, but evidently, he wants to be Russian. Apparently, they need diversity, and they won't allow gays, so they're getting black people from Florida. So, if it doesn't work out, where you're at, James, evidently you can go to Russia and become an honorary black Russian. So,
something like that. I mean, speaking of that, I think that I don't know, but this might be a really far-fetched. Guess here, but I think he's trying to do that in order to be the guy that's going to face Sergey Kovalev on November 28th. I hope that's not true, but that there's something that might raise a few eyebrows to a few people, so I hope it doesn't happen, but like I said, it was very weird for me to see that type of news there about Roy Jones.
See, you know what? I almost feel like Roy Jones Jr. Kovalev might be more interested than Mosley versus the field. I don't know. I'm just feeling that way these days.
I don't know. It seems like Mosley has got people talking about the fight, which is very funny because, I mean, he hasn't really fought in, over a year plus, and yet, you know, people are still talking about it like it's an actual valid fight.
Towards the end of August, and like you said, there hasn't much been going on. So, you know what? I wasn't able to call in last week. Did you talk about who Deontay Wilder is going to fight? Who he announced he was going to fight?
I didn't put in the formal announcement because they had that formal announcement of who he was going to fight, and I think I did post like something where they show who he was fighting. And I was like, when I saw that, I was like, oh my goodness, man, you can't be serious that he's actually going to do this.
I don't know. I'm starting to question his whole MO. It just seems like, is this guy ranked? This guy's ranked higher than the last guy, than John Molina Jr. He's ranked
right.
higher, but it's not really. I don't think he doesn't hit as hard as John Molina Jr.
Nope,
guy
he
the
sure
announced.
Doesn't.
You know, he's more skilled, but he's from. Is he from Russia too? Where is he from?
He's from France.
From France. Oh, yeah, because he's the number one guy in France. You know, that's what
yeah.
I've been noticing. He's been picking out number one guys from countries that aren't known for boxing. So he's picking out the number one guy from France. He fought the number one guy from Spain, the number one guy from Chile. And it's like, it's not really, like, he's, like at least, like Thurman, he could say, I fought ex-world champions. You know, and these guys are like ex, what, NPC or whatever that is, you know, the regional champion
like,
or something like.
Here's something that I didn't know about Deontay Wilder on his quest to become the heavyweight champion of the world, okay? Back in October 2013, he fought the rugged, tough, Nikolai Fursa, and Nikolai Fursa came into the ring at 21 wins and 10 losses, okay? In his previous fight that Fursa had, he fought somebody that was 23 and 21.
Yeah.
Deontay Wilder, ladies and gentlemen. Like, come on, man. And yet this is going to be another fight that's going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. So,
you know,
another
unfortunately
home state
because,
fight.
Again, comes back to the whole marketing thing that I said. He's not being put out there right. He's not being marketed right. You know, I don't know why Al is not putting his name out there. I don't care if he brings him along slowly. But the guy already has a belt. If you're gonna bring him along slowly, at least make sure it's like everybody he should fight is in the top 15. As soon as he got that strap, they should all be in the top 15. He could pick the weakest guy in the top 15, but it should be bringing him along with guys in the top 15. John Molina Jr. was like ranked 40 something. Like the dude didn't even deserve because you can't forget when they fight them, even though they're warm up fights or whatever you want to call it. Glorified sparring, you're still giving that person a title shot. Like Buster Douglas, he was a warm-up, but he was top 10. He was ranked top, I think he was top 8. So, you know,
yeah.
At least there was some legitimacy to Buster Douglas, even though that nobody in the world thought he had a chance to be Tyson.
Right.
But still, he had some legitimacy to him as far as where he's ranked at. This, the way that they're bringing him along is whatever. I think it's kind of a joke. The marketing of him is kind of a joke. No, it's not kind of. It's an outright atrocity. You only see him on NBC. That's the only time any commercial comes out with him on NBC. They're finally getting ESPN. Al is getting ESPN involved because ESPN obviously came on with Premier Boxing Champion, and they did that 30 for 30 on him.
Mm-hmm.
It aired last week or the week before last. And it's, I don't know, kind of introduced people to him, but I didn't think it was something that made me want to watch him, you know? It's something that you would see on the 30 for 30 did about the same as you would see for a para athlete for the Olympics. Like, I kind of hope this guy wins this fight or this match. Or if he got a gold, that'd be cool. Like, this is the heavyweight champion of the world. We're not looking for charity, you know. He brought his daughter up. He said he would quit all his job because he wanted to win the heavyweight championship for her. Like, I don't know. I think it's kind of – I have kids, And I think it's kind of idiotic when people, I mean, you hear him in the background, when people say, I'm doing this for my kids. And it's something like completely out there. It's not like I'm going to get a really good paying job, work my ass off, provide a home and food and education for my kids. No, it's like I'm going to win the heavyweight title for my kids. Why would your kids want that? Like, what does that do? Does that make them smarter? Like, I don't get it.
I didn't know that four or five-year-old kids could tell their fathers that, hey, I want you to, you know, fight so that you could be the champion of the world. I didn't know that they really did that. I mean, that's a brand new thing to me.
Well, I became 30 for my kids, you know? I became 30 and then 31. I did that for my kids, too.
Yeah, that could add a couple of years to you, probably quicker than you would think.
Yeah,
you know, so.
Two kids at the same time. By the way, people, you see twins in the media. I love my twins, but you women, if you were the lady and y'all are single and you're dating, you know, whatever, and she's like, I want twins, you look at her with a crooked eye, I get it. That makes sense. That would be logical. If you're like, oh, yeah, twins would be really cool, you're retarded. That's what it is. And it's great having twins, but it's twice as much at one time. Kids are hard to begin with, but twice as much at one time. And they're like velociraptors, too. They plot and shit all the time. Like, they come up from one end or the other. One's going into the kitchen trying to get a snack. The other one's running away, you're trying to catch. They get the snack, run the other way. The other one's trying to run in there, get another snack.
I guess you would say it's like dealing with Speedy Gonzalez times too. I mean, you can't catch one, so start trying to catch two of them is, you know.
It's like they have contraband. Their contraband is crayons, so they stash crayons places. So you wake up in the morning to get them out of the bedroom, feed them breakfast, and you have a crooked-looking smiley face on the wall, and you're like, oh, it's cute. You can draw a smiley face now, but it's on crayon on the wall, and that's not cool. So it's like, what do you do? You want to take a picture of it and be like, yeah, you drew on the wall, and it made Daddy mad, but it was the first time you did it, so I really don't know. I don't want to discipline you for doing something good or bad. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's...
Yeah.
And then the other one, anyways, so it's, you know, I don't get it. Why would you tell, you know, your 2-year-old, I'm going to be the heavyweight champion of the world? That's, I don't know, it seems like a
that seems like a far-fetched thing for, you know, a lot of these fighters to say, but, I mean, it happens anyway.
I wonder if he also said, I'm not going to fight legitimate competition to get to that title fight and keep it. I wonder if that was part of it, or did he tell his daughter that, or I was just going to win it?
I don't know if he possibly said it, but it may be a possibility that Al Haymon said, hey, look, hey, Deontay Wilder, I got a plan for you. I'm going to show you how you could become the heavyweight champion of the world and not even really fight that many guys that are within the top 30 in the weight class. All you got to do is fight one guy that's within the top 10, win that fight, and you'll be the heavyweight champion of the world. How does that sound to you? And, of course, Deontay Wilder is going to be like, oh, yeah, man, I'll take that in a heartbeat, man. So that's basically what ends up happening right here is you got somebody that hasn't really fought, you know, many contenders out there, and he was able to become the heavyweight champion of the world, man.
Did you say any contenders or many? Because I don't think he's fought any contenders.
He only fought one. Well, the one contender that he fought was... you know, the guy that was a heavyweight champion
Haitian.
In Vermont Severn. So, and that was
the Haitian guy. That's it.
So,
and he couldn't knock him out either.
Well,
it was in 2 rounds, but other than that,
he couldn't do it. We have another caller here on 336-327. What's going on?
What's going on, bro? JV?
Doing good, man. Doing good. You know, just went through the next 3 weeks of what's happening in the Bison scene with, you know, Abner Morris, Leo Santa Cruz. You got the card on September 6th. Something on September 8th also. And also, you know, Errol Spence going up against Chris Van Heerden and Stevenson versus Carpensi. So just basically went through all of that, you know, real quick here. So any early thoughts about the fights coming up in the next couple of weeks?
The Morris fight, that's going to be interesting. That's a tough, I mean, I sort of like Santa Cruz, but that's a tough one. That's a toss-up. The Lemieux and Triple G, love to see Lemieux pull it off, but not sure if he could take the power of Triple G. But I would love for him to expose him.
Well, I mean, with that upcoming fight that's happening in October, man, you know, I see that some people are pretty much seeing that they might see more of a skilled Triple G in this fight instead of using his power to, you know, overwhelm his opponents. You know, Lemieux is somebody that doesn't necessarily mind going toe-to-toe with anybody. He's done that against, you know, the past two fighters, and he's improved a lot since his loss to Marco Antonio Rubio. So, and I think he had a new trainer after that loss, right? So, you know, ever since then, he's basically, you know, won fight after fight in order to get the championship that he got in this win over Hassan and Dominic Jikam.
Correct.
So,
and then you
I think that.
Earl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fight, that's September the what?
It's going to be September 11th. That's the Friday night. Yeah, that's going to be Friday night. Where is it at? I think that's Friday night in Toronto. Yeah, that's Toronto.
Yeah, that's on that Donaldson Stevenson card, correct?
Right.
Yeah, I think Earl, he'll win that fight. And we'll see what Donaldson do. I'm surprised they didn't put that fight in Vegas, on the Vegas card.
I mean, I don't know how they didn't either, but, I mean, well, it's... To me, I don't know if he would really want a Stevenson-Carpensi fight on the Las Vegas card, but I think they just wanted to have Stevenson be showcased there in Canada once again, you know, against somebody. And then, you know, put Spence in there against somebody that has, like, you know, a little bit more experience and is a high-rated guy in the welterweight division so that they could slowly move him up the ranks, even though, like we said many times, he's, you know, ready to fight the big boys right now. So they have that as, you know, one fight card, and then they have another fight card during the day on Saturday that has that K-9 Charlo fight.
Yeah, that Charlo and the Bundry fight, that's going to be interesting. We're going to see if the old dog can handle the young kid. But K-9, one thing I will give him credit for, he always shows up to put on a show, and he will perform.
He ends up, you know, stepping up in those type of fights. So I think he will be ready for, you know, this matchup here against a young guy in Charlo. So You know, it'll be interesting to see how that's going to, you know, turn out. But I mean, like I said, but this is like, you know, his first defense at, you know, this title after, you know, he lost it beforehand to E.J. Smith and then won it back against Carlos Molina. So this will be his next defense of it. And it's almost been a year since he's fought as well.
Right. So what's going to happen with the Porter Thurman? I mean, started out like that, like the talks were that fight was going to happen, and then it seemed like it sort of fizzled a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you think is going on with that one?
I mean, I've heard that it's not going to happen. Seemed like talks about it have, like, died down for it. So it looks like, you know, Porter is looking towards other people he could possibly fight. So,
like who?
Maybe. I was thinking about he was looking at Danny Garcia as his next one.
Danny's not gonna fight him. Danny's not gonna fight Porter. Danny's not gonna take that kind of a risk. I mean, if you look at Danny's next opposition is going to be against the right opponent like his first opposition was at 47. Danny's not going to fight nobody that's legitimate right now at 47 unless it made sense. He may well take the chance to fight like Mayweather, and it's only for the money. Because him and his father know they don't have a chance at winning. But he's not going to risk fighting Porter or anybody else. I mean, to me, if I was Danny, I would try to fight Broner. Lure Broner up, that may be a fight that he could possibly win. And it's still a big name. But any legitimate 147 will give him problems.
Right. Right. I mean, yeah, like Porter would be issues. You know, going up against Kell Brook, you would have issues. Yeah, even Thurman, he'd have issues with Thurman. I mean, you can't necessarily face Bradley, so that's out.
Right. So, you know, the thing with Porter, man, and don't get me wrong, I mean, Porter, he's not the most fun guy to watch, but he bulls so much and he puts so much pressure, it's hard for you to get comfortable. And with Danny, I mean, and you know, we talked about this plenty of times before, Danny hasn't looked like Danny since the Matisse fight. And it to me, I think he will struggle trying to keep Porter off of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Porter will impose his will, and his punching power will give Danny major problems.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like I said, that's the thing that you know, Sean and Katie Porter were looking towards since you know, that whole Thurman thing with Keith Thurman was off. So who knows who's on the list for Keith Thurman? I mean, is it going to be Amir Khan? Is it going to be I don't know.
Who backed out of that fight? Was it Thurman? I'm sure it was Porter.
Yeah, most likely it was Thurman, because Porter is not, you know, one that would, you know, kind of step back or sit down for.
Yeah,
because
one thing about
that magnitude.
Porter don't really care about the money. Porter has the mentality that the money will come. Porter just want to fight these guys to prove that he belongs. So I'm sure that it was the other side that had problems with the fight. because ever since that Ghost fight, he hasn't really showed that he's stepping the opposition up in the right direction. And that would be a fight that you could possibly see Robert against Porter, because Robert is willing to fight, and it's still a decent name. Well, Thurman, when I look at Thurman and also with Garcia, it's like, you know, they both need to step up the caliber of their opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when you look at the names out there, why wouldn't you fight Porter? You know, that will put you in the right direction, because a lot of people are talking about Porter just like they are talking about Thurman, okay? So if these two names keep coming up when they ask the question, is Mayweather, if he fight beyond 49, right? If these two names keep coming up, why wouldn't you face each other to have the one dominant guy? Because whoever wins, the public will pretty much demand it. You know what I'm saying? Even with Danny, because after Danny fought Paulie, you heard a lot of the commentators, they would just automatically do Danny. Oh, Mayweather, yeah, they would like to see it. You know, even if the Danny fight came available for either one of them, they should jump at it, at the opportunity, just to try to separate themselves from the field.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that I don't understand with a lot of these, you know, welterweight prospects is that they haven't really done anything to really face each other, with the exception of Sean Porter, in order to, you know, prove who really the best young guy is at the 147-pound division. I mean, they end up, like, fighting all these guys that are, you know, not in the top 20, not in the top 30, and then turn around and say, hey, I'm the best, you know, best guy in the division. And that doesn't necessarily cut it, you know?
Yeah, you're right. What else were y'all? I know you said you were speaking on the first 3 weeks.
Yeah,
the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, so I mean, you have, like I said, you have that Abnamar Santa Cruz, you have Stevenson Carpensi, you have K9 versus Charlo, that Peter Killen versus Giraffa. Then, you know, after that, you know, you have Mayweather Berto in that. You know, fight on September 12th with those other fights that are on that card, including E.J. Smith against Vane's Material Shinyan, and also Roman Martinez versus Orlando Salido in a rematch. So, You got a few fairly good fights or fairly good matchups that are on that card.
Right. I mean, some of them, I think, is bogus. I mean, Ishe Smith. Man, I'm tired of Ishe. It's a lot of them I'm just tired of. I mean, I don't think that Ishe really belongs. You know, he had his little shot and it's over. I don't think he can beat nobody with a belt in his weight class.
Nope. I don't think so either. Who is he at? He's at, but he got this fight at 154. And, yeah, I don't see how, he's even within the, you know, the top 10 at any of those sanctioned bodies. He's not even ranked. I don't see him ranked in any of them. you know. I do see Baines is ranked number three in the WBC, but yeah, I don't see Ishae in any of them. It's funny because you got Ishae Smith there facing somebody like Baines Mateo Sion, but a guy J-Rock isn't able to face Baines. That don't make any sense.
Right. What about when is trial coming? Trial supposed to be fighting when?
Oh, trial. I don't know. I don't know when that is. I thought he was supposed to be fighting earlier
this
year.
What about that?
I didn't know what happened with that.
Is that fighting in September?
Well, he is fighting in September, but he's fighting. It's supposed to be slated for September 10th. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be Thursday, September 10th. But, you know, remember when, you asked Zab if he was going to fight Corley, he said there was no way that, you know, any sanctioning body would, you know, allow that fight to happen.
Corley just fought in Juarez Friday.
Yeah, he did. And he lost that fight.
Well, they say he won it. They say he got robbed.
Yeah, so... I mean, I don't know, man. Who was that? Yeah, Chihuahua, Mexico. Yeah, that's that fight was at. And, I didn't know that he was, you know, even fighting yesterday, one, and then, you know, two, you know, he was out there fighting somebody that isn't in the top 50 in the weight class. He had to go to Mexico to make that fight happen. So, I don't know when Chop's next fight is going to be, but like they said, Zab was saying that he was trying to get something put together for September 10th, and then, you know, after that fight and another fight, he was looking to fight Lucas Matisse once again. Well, that's his intention.
Right.
But I don't know when that's going to happen, though. I do know that, like, later on in the year, Matt, you do know that Crawford is going to fight Deary John in November, right? Well, I don't know if Matt is still on the line, but his guy from Nebraska there, Terrence Crawford, is fighting Deary John for the title that Crawford has. And Deary John only had that one loss against Peterson, which was for another version of the 140-pound title. So he gets another title shot there. So that's like going to be the next fight for Terrence Crawford. You know, so that's going to be an interesting fight for the WBO Super Lightweight Championship. But I was saying that with Crawford having this fight, that's going to be actually in October 24th. So you got that fight on October 24th, and then you have Lucas Matisse fighting Victor Postol for the vacant vacant WBC belt. And so I was saying that, you know, the winner of those two fights could probably face each other next year to unify those belts. So that would be kind of interesting there. While you have Adrian Broner might fight for the WBA 140 championship against, because I don't know if they actually signed that fight either. Broner versus Lakverdiev.
They were talking about it. I don't know if they signed it or not. They was talking about him fighting for the IBF. I'm like, how the hell do you keep getting title shots?
he does have two losses, but I mean, still, I don't understand how. It's almost like the thing with Broner in junior welterweight is like Danny Garcia in welterweight. I mean, Broner hasn't really had a fight at 140. He never had a fight at 140 yet. He's ranked number two in the WBA. And then Danny Garcia only has one fight in 147, and he's number two in the WBC. Like, I don't know how that works. I don't know, man. I guess that's boxing for you.
I guess it is.
So it's very interesting there that, you know, he's able to get these type of shots when, you know, he really hasn't had any fights in that weight class. So, is there, like, anything else that you were looking at?
Nah, I'm just ready for something. I'm ready for something big to happen. That's going to get the people on their feet. You know what I'm saying? There's so many fights that should be made.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I really think it's crazy.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, like I said, I mean, we've basically almost gone through this whole month without any notable fights going on when a lot of matchups that could be made or should have been made and haven't been made. We went through the thing with the whole welterweight division. The latest article that I wrote on the CHT on sports was about Guillermo Rigondo and how he doesn't have a fight put together while you got, you know, guys like Carl Frampton and Scott Quigg getting fights. And they were talking about one of those guys fighting, who was it, the Filipino Flash. You know, so it's amazing that some people are able to get fights while others are not.
That's the politics of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could be a lot of fights that the people would love to see. You know, I mean, they just got to make them, you know. Got to make the fights happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, there'll be something to see. If some of these fights are going to be made, you know, later on this year. Because, like we said, we've always had those rumored fights between Sean Porter and Keith Thurman that hasn't been coming to fruition. So, those are the things that we got to see if those are going to be able to be happening, you know. And, also with Povetkin, I mean, Povetkin is supposed to be fighting Deontay Wilder, and now Deontay Wilder is, you know, coming up with somebody that, you know, we hardly even know about.
Hey, I'm about like Shannon the Cannon. Beyonce Wilder is afraid. Man,
yeah.
That dude is crazy.
It's crazy, but, I mean, he's the one talking the game. But, I mean, that's the type of thing that boxing needs is somebody
Beyonce
like him to talk that type of trash. And, yeah, I mean, with somebody that calls you out like that, and you can't even step up to even fight him? Come on, man.
Yeah, you're right.
You're going to fight somebody that nobody even really knows about. When with a fight like Wilder versus Briggs, on network television, that would have been a better fight.
Man, ever since Wilder got past the fire, he ain't trying to fight nobody that's going to test him.
Mm-hmm.
He want to fight a bunch of cupcakes. I don't know how they keep letting him get past, not facing the mandatory. When he fought the Hispanic kid in the last fight, it was basically like the mandatory was coming up, right? Now he's got away from the mandatory again. I mean, when is he going to fight somebody?
Right. So it's something that, we like a lot of fight fans don't understand about what's happening with Wilder and why he's not even stepping up to fight these guys. I mean, he should be somebody that says he'll be able to take on all comers, but it definitely seems like that is not the case.
Correct.
I just feel like he's trying to build his just a record count up. I don't feel like he's really trying to fight nobody. Yeah, I mean, even Klitschko, I think this is the first legitimate fighter Klitschko has really fought in a minute, you know? I think Fury actually has a legitimate shot at beating him.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. But, I mean, at least with Vladimir Klitschko, I mean, at least the guys that he's facing are guys that are within the top five or ten.
Top five, top ten
overall, or you know, top five, top ten within the sanctioning body that he's defending the titles in. I mean, you got, you know, Brian Jennings out there. You know that was a top guy, and you know, you had, who else did you have that he fought? He already fought Chagiev. Chagiev was top guy.
Wasn't Cummings like three fights ago, or was that longer ago? Cunningham. He fought Cunningham a little while ago. Klitschko, didn't he? He fought Cunningham, didn't he?
No, he didn't fight Cunningham.
No,
he fought your boy, the other kid out of Philly. Jennings.
Yeah, Jennings was his last fight. I thought it was 2 years ago he fought Cunningham. Could have swore Fury said something about that in the press conference when he went off on him. That was just comedy, though. That whole press conference, Fury roasted him there.
Yeah, you sure did, man.
He said, you know, 19 languages and you don't say shit. What's the point of it? So you can just say nothing? So you say you know 19 languages? How does that better you at all? It doesn't. How does it help you? It doesn't.
Yeah, that whole thing was just really, really funny, man. I mean, that thing right there was, you know, kind of classic because it showed that, you know, basically showed early that Fury is basically ready for the fight right now. You know, and then he's ready to fight Klitschko. And, you know,
the 24th?
Stanley, October 24th, it should be. Yeah, it's October 24th. It's the same day as that, fight that the guy has against Theory John.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's going to be on the same day.
Yeah, I'll watch them both.
All right, so just went through, you know, a few things over there in the sport of boxing. So I'm going to, you know, basically close out the show for this week. Next week we'll, you know, go into a little bit more about the fight that happened with that is going to happen there with Abnermaris Leo Santa Cruz. May talk a little bit about the Olympic trials that are going to be happening in Baltimore the week after Labor Day.
So I might delve into that a little bit more and look towards that big event between Floyd Mayweather and Andre Berto. So y'all catch that show next Sunday at 7:30. And also, you know, catch the sister shows that we have coming up on the MRN Broadcasting Channel. Is there anything that you want to close out with, Greg?
No, I mean, there'll be a little more to talk about next weekend after the Marez fight. So we'll go from there. I'll see you guys next Sunday.
All right, no problem, man, no problem. All right, so that's it. That's the end of the show this week. Like I said, once again, catch the show next Sunday, 7:30 p.m. Like I always say, the point of boxing is to hit and not get hit, not to send and trade. And on that note, folks, I'm out.